What's going on, guys? I'm back again. This is GXRP Perez, and today we're going to talk about Ethereum. Ethereum was a topic that a lot of people wanted me to touch because there's a lot of investors in it, and we know it makes money, and we know it's popular, but what does it really do, right? Well, before I get into it, I have to kind of show you guys a video. Because it's going to break down what a smart contract is before I can even get into Ethereum. Without the knowledge of a smart contract, you wouldn't really know what exactly Ethereum is based on, or what it does, or what you can actually do on it. So I'm going to go ahead and play this video. It's a 4-minute video, so it shouldn't be long. And then we'll go right into Ethereum.
Smart contracts are very popular nowadays. But what are they, and what problems do they solve? The term smart contract was first used by Nick Szabo in 1997, long before Bitcoin was created. He is a computer scientist, law scholar, and cryptographer, so I'll spare you his exact words. But in simple terms, he wanted to use a distributed ledger to store contracts. Now, smart contracts are just like contracts in the real world. The only difference is that they are completely digital. In fact, a smart contract is actually a tiny computer program that is stored inside of a blockchain. Let's take a look at an example to understand how smart contracts work. You probably are familiar with Kickstarter, the large fundraising platform. Product teams can go to Kickstarter, create a project, set a funding goal, and start collecting money from others who believe in the idea. Kickstarter is essentially a third party that sits in between product teams and supporters. This means that both of them need to trust Kickstarter to handle their money correctly. If the project gets successfully funded, the project team expects Kickstarter to give them their money. On the other hand, supporters want their money to go to the project if it was funded, or to get a refund when it hasn't reached its goals. Both the product team and the supporters have to trust Kickstarter. But with smart contracts, we can build a similar system that doesn't require a third party like Kickstarter. So let's create a smart contract for this. We can program the smart contract so that it holds all the received funds until a certain goal is reached. The supporters of a project can now transfer their money to the smart contract. If the project gets fully funded, the contract automatically passes the money to the creator of the project. And if the project fails to meet these goals, then the money automatically goes back to the supporters. Pretty awesome, right? And because smart contracts are stored inside a blockchain, everything is completely distributed. With this technique, no one is in control of the money. But wait a minute, why should we trust a smart contract? Well, because smart contracts are stored on a blockchain, they inherit some interesting properties. They are immutable, and they are distributed. Being immutable means that once a smart contract is created, it can never be changed again. So no one can go behind your back and tamper with the code of your contract. And being distributed means that the output of your contract is validated by everyone on the network. So a single person cannot force the contract to release the funds because other people on the network will spot this attempt and mark it as invalid. Tampering with smart contracts becomes almost impossible. Smart contracts can be applied to many different things, not just on crowdfunding. Banks, for example, could use it to issue loans or to offer automatic payments. Insurance companies could use it to process certain claims. And postal companies could use it for payment on delivery, and so on and so on. So now you might wonder, where and how can I use smart contracts? Well, right now, there are a handful of blockchains who support smart contracts, but the biggest one is Ethereum. It was specifically created and designed to support smart contracts. Smart contracts can be programmed in a special programming language called Solidity. This language was specifically created for Ethereum and uses a syntax that resembles JavaScript. It's also worth noting that Bitcoin also has support for smart contracts, although it's a lot more limited compared to Ethereum.
Alrighty, guys, that was the smart contract video. Now let's drop this and I bring you to the actual website. So Let's go right into it. When you go into the Ethereum website, you see that they kind of give you like a little overview of what it is. And then when you click learn more, it gives you a breakdown, which I will go through. I did go through the white paper, but I think the website kind of explains it all in one. Right after I explain or go through the website, I'll go ahead and play an ERC-20 token video for you guys. And then we'll go ahead and leave it at that, because then I'll eventually make another video on Ethereum, because they did come out with updates. But as of right now, we're going to go ahead and cover the website. So, okay. So when you go to the website, this is what comes up. The website is ethereum.org. Ethereum is a global open source platform for decentralized applications. On Ethereum, you can write codes that controls digital values, runs exactly as programmed, and is accessible anywhere in the world. So when you click learn more, I'm pretty sure it takes you to what is Ethereum, but let's go ahead and click it. There it is. So what is Ethereum? New to Ethereum? You're in the right place. Let's start with big picture. Ethereum is the foundation for a new era of internet. An internet where money and payments are built in. An internet where users can own their data and your apps don't spy and steal from you. An internet where everyone has access to an open financial system. An internet built on neutral open access infrastructure controlled by no company or person. So well, that's pretty cool. It's a decentralized internet, and that is their goal, to make an internet worldwide that everyone uses and adopts, which you can build. It's completely decentralized, meaning that no one person's in control. And this kind of reminds me of Holochain. It looks like the same project, but I'd have to put one next to the other to kind of compare. At least what they're thinking, what they want to create. So it's based off of nodes, which I've explained in my prior videos, that nodes are, it's basically computing power. So everything's controlled based off of computers. And so let's continue with the explanation. Launched in 2015, Ethereum is the world's leading programmable blockchain. Like other blockchains, Ethereum has a native cryptocurrency called ETH. Ether. ETH is a digital money. If you've heard of Bitcoin, ETH has many of the same features. This is purely digital and can be sent to anyone anywhere in the world instantly. The supply of ETH isn't controlled by a government or company. It is decentralized and is scarce. People all over the world use ETH to make payments, as a store of value, or as collateral. So let's continue. But unlike other blockchains, Ethereum can do much more. Ethereum is programmable, which means that developers can use it to build new kinds of applications. These decentralized applications, or dApps, so that's what dApps are. When you hear the term dApps, that means decentralized applications, and you'll probably hear it within the crypto world, because there are a couple of other coins that do the same thing. They try to decentralize, like I told you, Holochain. So let's continue. Or dApps gains the benefit of cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. They can be trustworthy, meaning that once they are uploaded to Ethereum, they will always run as programmed. They can control digital assets in order to create new kinds of financial applications. They can be decentralized, meaning that no single entity or person can control it. Okay, so based off of that, like I said, it's the dApps, the apps that you can create on it. Right now, thousands of developers all over the world are building applications on Ethereum and inventing new kinds of applications, many of which you can use today. So based on the Ethereum platform, you can create cryptocurrency wallets, financial applications, decentralized markets, games, and much more. The Ethereum community is the largest and the most blockchain and the most active blockchain community in the world. It includes core protocol developers, crypto economic research, cyberpunks, mining organizations, ETH holders, app developers, ordinary users, anarchists, Fortune 500 companies, and as of right now, you. So that's pretty cool. I like the way they put that. There is no company or centralized organization that controls Ethereum. Ethereum is maintained and improved over time by diverse global community of contributors who work on everything from the core protocol to consumer applications. This website, just like the rest of Ethereum, was built and continues to build by a collection of people working together. Welcome to Ethereum. So they go ahead and they pretty much give you an overview. As you can see, it's all based on a community. The community comes together and they do upgrades, they build on it. They pretty much make it to where everyone can use it. And they constantly try to work on it, try to make it faster. Let's keep going through the website and see what we find, because it's pretty interesting. Individuals, what is Ethereum? What is Ether? Okay. So let's go ahead and read it over here where it says what is Ether, because a lot of people get confused. They think when you say Ethereum that you're talking about the coin, and Ethereum is a platform, not a coin. So when they say ETH, that's the actual currency. So what is ETH, and how do I get it? Ether, or ETH, is Ethereum's native coin, native currency. It is digital money that can be sent over the internet instantly and cheaply, and also be used in many Ethereum-based applications. The easiest way to get ETH is to buy some. There are many cryptocurrencies exchanges that will allow you to buy ETH, but the one you should use will depend on where you live and how you want to pay. Cool. So, we give you an overview of what ETH is. It's pretty much money, is what they're saying. So this is what you're going to use to build applications or develop anything in the Ethereum blockchain, their network. Let me see. I actually wrote a couple notes here. Let me see if I can find it right here. So smart contracts. And the reason why I showed you guys that video is because Ethereum, everything on Ethereum is based on smart contracts. So it's a smart contract, like I said, it's like a program that you put it within the blockchain. And that program pretty much releases and intakes whatever it is that you program, you set it to do. Whatever you set it to do, that's what it does. And this is how people create the ERC-20 tokens. The ERC-20 tokens are a kind of like a facilitated creation that was created by Ethereum, because, for example, if you want a decentralized exchange, that means that there's no one person in control of it. And if that's the case, it's all through computing power. There's not one entity or one person. So in order to do that, you need to have some sort of automated system in order for it to be done without somebody overviewing it. Okay. That's my understanding of it. Because remember, I'm new to it just like you guys. That's why I'm going through it, in the sense of how it works and what you can do with it. So if you want to, you can actually create ICOs on this platform. The Ethereum platform is used by many companies like BNB to create tokens. You also have VeChain, I think, started with them. I'm not completely sure. I'll have to double check that. So if you guys get a little chance, go ahead and check that. So the ERC-20 token is actually created. Once you make a contract, they release those tokens to you within the Ethereum platform. So there's a whole process that you have to go through, like formulas and how much you really need, what does it take to sustain your new project. That's why a lot of ICOs were built by regular people. Now these ICOs maybe might not even have anything backing them up. Maybe they just paid for it to look for a small fortune. And that's the reason why a lot of people got scammed based off of Ethereum and the ERC-20 token. Because pretty much anyone can go in their platform, create a formula, give it to them, start a smart contract, they release your tokens, and you got your ICO started. So that's why it's a little dangerous. Always remember to double check these coins, find out information, dig in deep, find out the team, projects, everything. Don't just put your faith out there and expect something to grow, in the sense that you have no information whatsoever. And I think that's pretty much it for now, because that's what Ethereum is based on. I'm going to go ahead and check out the CEO, and then we'll go ahead and look for that ERC-20 token so they can explain it to you within a deeper, more detailed version of it. All right? So give me 1 second, and we'll look for the CEO. There we go. Alright, so we're going to go ahead and read his career. Butrin met a person on a Bitcoin chat forum trying to start a Bitcoin blog. The owner offered 5 Bitcoin, about $3.50 at the time, to anyone who can write an article for him. Butrin wrote the site until its website shut down. Soon, therefore, after, due to Bitcoin's lack of mainstream attention, in September 2011, another person reached out to Butrin about a new publication called Bitcoin Magazine, a position which Butrin would accept as the first CEO founder, as the first co-founder, sorry, and contribute as a leading writer. In addition, Butrin wrote about Bitcoin related topics for other publications, including Bitcoin Weekly, Bitcoin Magazine in 2012. Later began publishing a printed edition and has been referred to as the first serious publication dedication to cryptocurrency. Bitcoin Magazine was then purchased by BTC Media, where Butrin continued to write until mid-2014. In addition, he held a position on the editorial board of Ledger, a peer-reviewed scholarly journal that published full-length original research articles on the subjects of cryptocurrencies and blockchain technologies. And then that's when Ethereum came out. So smart guy, 19 years old. He intook everything that he learned off of being an author and a writer, and then he sat down with economists, with mathematicians, cryptographers, and they basically built Ethereum, because at the time we had a lot of companies blown up and everything was based off of apps. So I would see where he would want to create an app for this, especially with smartphones. And I mean, everyone right now is really pretty much living off of their smartphones. You can, it's a small computer, and it's evolved and it's going to continue to evolve. So based off of that, he pulled up and said, you know what, let's build this thing. And they did. And now it's a ranked number 2 in CoinMarketCap, and we're gonna go ahead and check that out. CoinMarketCap, ranked number 2 right here. We'll go ahead and click on it. Okay, here we go. So ETH, Ethereum price right now is 149, and it's gone up. Its ROI is 5,163%. I actually checked this last night, and it was 4,699, something like that. But it's already gone up pretty high. So market cap, 16 billion, 284 million. Then you have the 24-hour volume, which is 9 billion, 990 million. Circulating supply is 109 million. Total supply, 109,271,000. Max, no data. All-time high was $1,432. All-time low was 0.42, which I wish I would have bought then. But 52-week high, low, and then they give you the same percentages. I'm going to leave all this in the description so you guys can pull and dig in. But at least you know now that if you do invest in this, it's a great project, and they have new things coming up all the time. And now I'm going to leave you guys with the video of the NRC20 token. Like that, you guys can actually get the entire concept of it.
We all hear about ERC-20 tokens, but what are those tokens, and most importantly, what are they not? To start with, let's quickly go over some of the basics. ERC-20 tokens exist on the Ethereum platform, and that in itself consists out of a blockchain that is capable of storing transactions and a virtual machine that is capable of running smart contracts. It's important to understand that tokens live on the Ethereum blockchain. They benefit from its technology, they aren't independent, and they rely on Ethereum's blockchain and platform. The native currency on the Ethereum network is Ether, but besides Ether, it can also support other tokens, and these can work like currencies, but they can also represent shares of a company, loyalty points, gold certificates, and so on. But we're running ahead of it. Let's first take a look at how tokens come into existence. A token can be created by a smart contract. This contract is not only responsible for creating tokens, but also for managing transactions of the token and for keeping track of the balance of each token holder. To get some tokens, you have to send some Ether to the smart contract, which will then give you a certain amount of tokens in return. So when you want to create your own token, you write a smart contract that can create tokens, transfer them, and keep track of people's balances. That sounds pretty easy, but it's also quite risky. For starters, once a smart contract is deployed, it cannot be changed anymore, so if you made an error, you cannot fix it. And that could be quite catastrophic. Imagine a bug inside your contract's code that causes people to lose their tokens, or a bug that would allow others to steal tokens. And then there is the problem of interoperability. Each token contract can be completely different from the other. So if you want your token to be available on an exchange, the exchange has to write custom code so they can talk to your contract and allow people to trade. The same thing goes for wallet providers. Supporting hundreds of tokens would be very complex and very time consuming. So instead, the community proposed a standard called ERC-20. ERC stands for Ethereum Request for Comments, and 20 is just a number they assigned to a proposal that would create some structure in the Wild West of tokens. ERC-20 is a guideline or a standard for when you want to create your own token. It defines 6 mandatory functions that your smart contract should implement and 3 optional ones. To start with, you can optionally give your token a name, a symbol, and you can control how dividable your token is by specifying how many decimals it should support. The mandatory functions are a bit more complex. For starters, you have to create a method that defines the total supply of your token. When this limit is reached, the smart contract will refuse to create new tokens. Next up is the balance off method, which has to return how many tokens a given address has. And then there are 2 transfer methods. Transfer, which takes a certain amount of tokens from the total supply and gives them to a user, and transfer from, which can be used to transfer tokens between any 2 users who have them. Finally, there is the approve and allowance method. Approve verifies that your contract can give a certain amount of tokens to a user, taking into account the total supply. And the allowance method is almost the exact same, except that it checks if one user has enough balance to send a certain amount of tokens to someone else. If you know something about object-oriented programming, you can compare ERC-20 to an interface. If you want your token to be an ERC-20 token, you have to implement the ERC-20 interface, and that forces you to implement the 6 methods. Now, before there was the ERC-20 standard, everyone who wanted to create a token had to reinvent the wheel. And that meant that each token contract was slightly different, and that exchanges and wallets had to write custom code to support your token. With ERC-20, however, exchanges and wallet providers only have to implement this code once. And that's why exchanges can add new tokens so quickly, and why wallets like My Ether Wallet has support for all ERC-20 tokens without having to be updated. So how easy is it to create your own token? Well, there's a website called Token Factory that does it all for you. You just enter what the total supply of your token should be, how you want to call it, how many decimals it should support, and what symbol it should have. After entering all this, the website creates a token contract for you and adds it to the Ethereum blockchain. It is super easy and almost effortless. So effortless, in fact, that the website Etherscan has a list of 36,000 known ERC-20 tokens, and it's estimated that in 2017, over $4 billion was raised by selling tokens in an ICO. However, these tokens were not always clean. Some were really overhyped, and many people got scammed into purchasing tokens that were essentially worthless. But now we're getting a bit distracted. ERC-20 is a great standard that has propelled the use of tokens. But ERC-20 itself is not perfect. It's only a guideline, and people are free to implement the required functions however they like. That has led to some interesting problems. For instance, to buy some tokens, you have to send some Ether to the token contract. But some people tried sending other ERC-20 tokens instead. If the contract was not designed with this in mind, it will result in your tokens being lost. In fact, it was estimated that by December 2017, well over $3 million have been lost because of this flaw. So to solve this, the community is already working on extending the ERC-20 standard with the ERC-223 standard. This warns token creators about these risks and offers some workarounds. This video, I hope you find it interesting.
Alrighty, so now that we've already gone through that, I don't know if you guys want me to run through some quick, well, you know what, I'll run through a quick article on it. Here we go. So basically, Ethereum has been upgrading, like I told you guys, Ethereum 2.0 details by lead team. Ethereum Foundation has published documentation called Phase Zero for Humans. It demonstrates the detail of Ethereum ETH 2.0 new network design. The heavy burden of validators. One of the main purposes of ETH2 Phase Zero is to organize the interaction of validators responsible for the transaction confirmations. And then according to Danny Ryan, Ethereum's team lead, the Beacon Chain can also be dubbed as System Chain or Spine Chain, since this chain stores and manages the registry of validator in which the validators are assigned to their duties. Developers describe five main functions of validators in the Beacon Chain. Before a protocol level, random number generation, progress the Beacon Chain, vote on the head of the chain, finalize checkpoints, and link the transactions of shards. So this is based off of validators. Validators are the ones that validate whether the transaction is actually valid when you go ahead and implement any sort of transaction within the Ethereum blockchain. With envisaged for malicious validators, every validator who fails to attest some blocks or participate in voting will lose his or her staker rewards partially. It may cost 32 ETH to join Ethereum 2.0 as a validator. Will it be worth it? Sharing your opinions with okay, all right. Well, pretty much that article explains about how they're upgrading the validators, the people that approve the transactions. In order, it's a group that each one has to validate the transaction in order for it to go through. So, process is a little faster. Everything's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. And that's what I have for you guys today on Ethereum. And I'll make another video on ETH because I know there's a big bunch of big projects. But I want to continue and try to eliminate as many tokens, explain as many tokens as possible, especially the popular ones and the ones that people are invested in right now or the ones that I've been requested to do. And this was one of them. And I hope you enjoyed the video. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask me. And I'll look into it. I'll actually dig into it and give you an answer. I do respond to every single comment. Go ahead and hit the like, subscribe, and the notification bell if you like what you saw. If you didn't, please tell me why in the comments. Don't hit the thumbs down. Hit the thumbs up. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.